Okay, good morning. We're going to start this morning. I decided that to tackle the whole book of Eicha would probably be a little too ambitious for this morning, so we're going to look at Eicha Perek Aleph. So I prepared for you again the sheets from last time, the same sheets from last time with the psukim laid out for you. You know, like a poem, the way it was written. But before we look at the psukim even, I want to explore this question of, I didn't realize it until yesterday, that there's even a debate if Yirmiyahu actually wrote the Sefer or not, believe it or not. But we're going to go, I'm not going to go into that in detail, just letting you know, and it's written up in the introduction to the Dat and Mikra's Pirush on Sefer Yirmiyahu, so you're welcome to look there. But we're going to go with the position of Chazal that Yirmiyahu wrote it. One of the reasons is that there is no specific reference to Babel in Megillat Eicha. It's not necessary, you know, it's this tale of destruction or a lament of destruction, but there's no specific destruction that's targeted. It's a destruction of Yerushalayim. So it's really, you know, it could be, and there was one, if you'll open your Megillah, the Mikro Gedolot, there was, like, near the end, I should have marked it clearer in my book. Sorry about that. What are we looking for? In the beginning of Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, Ibn Ezra says on the words Ani Hagever is how Perek Gimel begins. Perek Gimel does not begin with the word Eicha. Perek Aleph and Bet and Dalet begin with the words Eicha, but the Perek Gimel is in the alphabet form. It's three psukim per letter. And in Pasuk Aleph, where he says, Ani HaGever, I the man, says Ibn Ezra, Amrukad Moneinu Zal, Ki Zot HaMegillah Yirmiyahu Ktava. That this is the book that Yirmiyahu wrote. Im Ken Yehu HaOmer Ani HaGever. If so, then when you say Ani HaGever, I the man, that's who we're talking about. It's Yirmiyahu who's speaking. Oh, he says, Yomar Kol Echad MiYisrael. But you don't have to be attached to this idea that Yirmiyahu is the one who's speaking here. It's really an every man's lament. Although, if we have some time at the end, I'll go through some of the psukim, some of the parallels between Eicha. There are linguistic parallels between Eicha and Sefer Yirmiyahu that seem to indicate more strongly, to me at least, that Yirmiyahu wrote it. I mean, the same imagery shows up in both. But what is this Megillah? Is it referenced at all in Sefer Yirmiyahu? So go back to the beginning of Sefer Eicha, to the first Rashi, where Eicha, as you could see from that Ibn Ezra, that Ibn Ezra is not necessarily tied to the idea that Yirmiyahu wrote Sefer Eicha, although he does present the opinion of Chazal that Yirmiyahu wrote Sefer Eicha, but he's not tied to it. He doesn't feel the need to say that Yirmiyahu wrote Sefer Eicha. It even expands it. It makes it more relevant to everybody if you say, like, it doesn't matter who's talking, whoever wrote it, this is relevant to all of us. Everyone could speak. But you see the Rashi there in the beginning, in Eicha Yishvah Batad, he says, Yirmiyahu Ketav Sefer Kinot. Yirmiyahu wrote Sefer Kinot. He's quoting the Gemara that we did 3 weeks ago. He ha-Megillah asher saraf Yehoyakim al ha'ach. This is the Megillah that Yehoyakim burned on the coals, asher al ha'esh, on the fire. And in that Megillah, he says, there were shalosh aleph beitot, Eicha Yashva, Eicha Ya'id, Eicha Yoam, Shuv hosif alav ani ha-geber, shu shalosh aleph beitot, Shenamar ve'od nosaf aleihem zvarim rabim. He's giving proof that this Megillah is the Megillah that's referenced in Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Vav. Let's take a minute and look back at that Perek in Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Vav. If you remember, Yehoyakim was the brother who was, or the son of Yoshiyahu, who was made king by Paro Necho after he killed Yoshiyahu. And Yehoash was made king, and then he exiled him, and then he made Yehoyakim king, and Yehoyakim was king for 11 years. But the beginning paragraph about the Hiba Shana HaRivi'it, in the fourth year of Yoyakim's reign, Lo Yakim ben Yoshiah Malchuda, paragraph about. Hashem said the following to Yirmiyahu: Kach lecha megillat sefer bekatavta aleha et kol hadvarim asher dibarti elecha al Yisrael ve'al Yehuda ve'al kol goyim. Write everything that I've been telling you, you know, all those nevuot I've been giving you, write them down in this megillah. Miyom dibarti elecha mimei Yoshiyahu v'yad hayom hazeh, from the beginning till now. Ulai yishmu beis Yehuda et kol hara asher anochi choshev laso lehem. Maybe they need like a review. You know, they need you to remind them all the things you've been telling them. Laman yashuvu ishmi darko hara v'salachti la'adonam l'chatatan, so that they'll do tshuva. So what does Yirmiyahu do? Vayikra Yirmiyahu at Baruch ben Neriah. Baruch ben Neriah, I'm now in Pasuk Dalet. I'm like flying through because I want to get the story down, and then we'll go through the first parak of Eicha. He calls him Baruch ben Neriah, who was his second in command, his aide, A-I-D-E, and he says to him, he says, Baruch, you know, come on, let's write it down. Vayikto Baruch mepi Yirmiyahu et kol dibei Hashem asher dibei elav al megillat sefer. Yirmiyahu tells him what to write, and he writes. He says, "Ani atzor, I am stopped. I am prevented. Lo uchal avo beit Hashem." It seems from here that Yirmiyahu had been banned from the Beit Hamikdash, which is an incredible thing. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Like I've mentioned in previous classes, like here he comes in and he says, "You have to give in to the enemy, and you're all going to die, and God's going to kill you, and there's no like point anymore to tshuva, but you have to do tshuva anyway, and there's no immediate result to tshuva. In other words, the end is going to happen." And so he was banned from the Beit Hamikdash because they didn't want to hear it. So what does he tell Baruch? He says, "You go. I want you to go on a fast day to the Beit HaMikdash, and I want you to read all of these words. So that everybody who's coming from all their cities will hear it. Maybe then they'll really daven to Hashem. God's anger is really strong." Pasuk Chet. Vayas Baruch ben Neriah kechol asher tzivah Yirmiyahu hanavi lekol b'sefer divrei Hashem beit Hashem. And so he takes the Baruch takes this megillah and he goes to the Beit Hamikdash and he reads it. What's the reaction? Vayhi b'shana chamishit le'yoyakim. We don't know the reaction at that time, but we know that in the fifth year of Yoyakim and Yoshiyahu melech Yehuda b'chodesh hatshi, in the ninth month, karu tzom lifnei Hashem. It could be that there's a different time he went to read, or this is the same time that like he planned it, and then he set out, you know, he's going to do it at the next Yom Tov, which was going to be in the Chodesh HaKamish, in the Chodesh HaTshi'i, which is Kislev. I don't know what Tzom would have been in Kislev. Karu Tzom Lefnei Hashem Kol Am Yerushalayim. They made this Tzom for everyone to come. Chol Am Habei Meirei Yidav Yerushalayim. Vayikra Baruch B'Sefer Tzivrei Yirmiyahu Bein Hashem. At that point, Baruch brings this Megillah to the Beit HaMikdash. He reads it. Before everybody who's there, where Bilishkak Maryahu ben Shafan haSofer b'Chaser haElyon Petach Shar Beit Hashem haChadash, he's telling you exactly where he's standing when he read it. He was standing by the new door, the new gate, outside the office of Maryahu ben Shafan. Maryahu ben Shafan, we know, is sympathetic to Yirmiyahu's goals. His father was the one was there when they found the Sefer Torah in the time of Yoshiyahu. His father Shafan was there, Gemariah ben Shafan gave his office. He was a superior. He gave his office for this purpose. Was Nekol Ham, so everybody heard it. Pasuk Yilal. The Yishma Michayhu ben Gemariah ben Shafan, Gemariah's son, hears it. A Kol Divrei Hashem Yalas Sefer. By Yirid ben Amelch Alishkat HaSofer. Minei Sham Kol Yisrael Milshim. He goes to another room, to another office, and he sees like all the officers are sitting there, and it lists all of their names. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayagid Lahem. Michayu had called him Asher Shamea. He goes and he tells him all the things he heard. Bikro Baruch b'Sefer b'Osnei Ha'am, to say what Baruch was reading. V'yishlechu kol ha'sirim al Baruch et Yehudi ben Netanyahu ben Shelemyahu ben Kushi. They send this guy Yehudi to him to say, Le'mor ha'megillah asher karata ba b'Osnei Ha'am, kachene b'yadach v'alech. Take that megillah and come to us. V'yikach Baruch ben Neriah et ha'megillah b'yado ve'evo alem. He comes to them, v'yomru e'lav, shevna v'karena b'Osneinu. We have to hear for our own ears. We want to hear what you're saying. They cry Baruch Bo's name, he reads it to them. Vayhi kashamam et kol zmarim. They hear what he says. Pachdu isha v'yehu. They have the proper reaction. Vayomeru al Baruch. Hagid nagid l'melech et kol zmarim ha'ela. We have to say these things. Like have you know, we have to take care of them and tell them to the king. V'et Baruch sha'alu le'mor. Hagid na l'anu. Eich katat et kol zmarim ha'ela m'piv. How did you write everything? V'yomer lehem Baruch m'piv ki yikrai elai. In other words, it's all Zerim Hela. It's all coming from Yirmiyahu, direct from Hashem. I'm not writing any of my own things here. I'm getting it from Yirmiyahu. I'm writing it down. So the Sarim tell Baruch, Vayomeru HaSarim al Baruch, Lechi Sater Atav Yirmiyahu, you and Yirmiyahu have to hide, because we're going to go to the king, and your lives are going to be in danger. V'isha Yitzah Eifot, nobody should know where you are. V'avo El HaMelech HaTzera, they come to the king in the Chatzera, V'et HaMegillah Hifkidu B'lishkad Elishama HaSofer, by the way, they hid the Megillah in another office. V'agidu B'aznei HaMelech HaKolzrim, and they tell the king all the things that were written in the Megillah. V'ishlach HaMelech HaYehudi L'kachad HaMegillah V'kacheha. He sends Yehudi, the king sends Yehudi to bring the Megillah to him, he takes it. V'kacheha M'lishkad Elishama HaSofer, V'kacheha Yehudi B'aznei HaMelech V'aznei Kolzrim HaMdim Yal HaMelech. He says, okay, I want you to read it to me, Yehudi. Come read it to me, says the king. Where's the king sitting at this point? Pasuk Chabet, Hamelch Hashem Ben Achoref B'Chodesh Atshii. He's sitting in the Ben Achoref. Evidently, I mean, I would imagine that it was very cold to be in the regular king palace during the winter time. So there was a Ben Achoref, which was probably a smaller kind of room that was easier to heat, because he's in the ninth month, which is Kislev, as I said before. But Ha'achlef Anav V'Bo'eret, he has a fire burning in front of him. Vayhi Kikro Yehudi Shalosh Delatot. He had finished reading the three main pages of this Megillah. In other words, each, Rashi explains this as each of the Echas. He finished reading the Arba'a, and he starts reading the fourth one. Yikra'eha b'tar ha-sefer. The king grabs the book, he tears it from his hand. V'shleich el ha'esh asher ha'ach, and he throws the Megillah into the fire. Ad tom kol ha-Megillah ha'esh asher ha'ach. So the entire Megillah is burned. Yirmiyahu wrote down all of his nevuot to affect the people. He can't go to the Beit HaMikdash to even read it. Baruch takes it to the Beit HaMikdash. He reads it. Somebody hears him. He's like, you got to hear this. He goes to the Sarim. He reads it. The Sarim say, we have to bring it to the king, but you can't bring it. You have to hide. So Baruch goes and hides with Yirmiyahu. And the Sarim bring it to the king. And what's the king's reaction? He grabs this Megillah and he throws it in the fire.
Where do you get this is Eicha?
So Chazal say this is Eicha. Because of the three and then the four, and we have in Eicha, we have three Eicha, three parakim that start with the word Eicha, and then the fourth alphabet also. V'lo pachadu, v'lo kar'u abigdeha. The people sitting around did not have the proper reaction. Hamelech v'chol avadav ha'shomim v'kol dvarim ha'eila. V'gam el natan u'zoyahu g'mariyahu v'fkiu b'melech, and then these other sarim who had brought him the Megillah, tried to convince the king, the Beltisro for the Megillah, not to burn it, below Shamalim, he didn't listen to them. V'tzaveh ha-melech et Yirachmiel ben ha-melech, v'etzrayahu ben Azriel, v'et Shalemiyahu ben Avdeel, l'kachat et Baruch ha-sofer, v'et Yirmiyahu ha-navi. So the king commands these people now to go and get Baruch and Yirmiyah and kill them. V'etz tereim Hashem, Hashem hides them.
Then does Chazal say that it was written before the Chorban?
Yes, isn't that interesting? Right, that he, so which further expands this idea of Eicha referring to a general destruction, that it doesn't have to be uniquely confined to the Chorban of the Beit HaMikdash itself.
It speaks about Yerushalayim.
It does speak about Yerushalayim, but the destruction had already begun of Yerushalayim in terms of the other nations, and then Yirmiyahu saw, he knew also in the Nebuah, that it was going to be the Beit HaMikdash. But the Kohanim were lost already by this time, spiritually. You know, and that's what he talks about, is the spiritual loss of the Kohanim. So it's not, you know, so far.
It must have been another copy.
So, right, there must have been another copy. So let's look at Megillat Eicha. Let's look at Parak Aleph. I'm going to read it through again one time like I did last week. And I'd like you to see what you come up with. I found a tremendous amount of, as my aunt was listening to me prepare last night, I found like really cool stuff. So let's see what you can find. Look out for a phrase that repeats itself, a word that repeats itself, a concept, that, you know, whatever you see that strikes you, that shows up several times. Eicha yashva badad ha'ir rabati am ha'ita ke'almana. Rabati b'goyim, sarati b'mdinot hayta alamas. B'cho tivka b'layla b'dimata al-chayaha. Ein lamen achim mikol ohaveha, kol re'eha v'agduba hayula lo'oivim. Galtha yudah me'oni u'mirova v'oda hi yashba b'goyim lo matzama noach. Kol otfea hi zigua b'en ha-mitzarim. D'achei tzion avelut, mibli ba'em o'ed, kol sha'reha shomimim, ko'aneha nanachim, tzuloteha nugot v'hi marla. Hayut Sarah Rosh Shalu. Ki Hashem Hogal Rosh Shaya. Olalah ha'chush vilif neitzar. Ve'etzei min batzion kol hadara. Hayu sarah ha'kayalim lo matzu mir'eh. Ve'ochu b'lo cho'ach lifnei rodev. Zachar Yerushalayim yimei anya. Umrudeha. Komach mudeha. Asher hayu mi'imei kedem. Binfol amah b'yadzar ve'en ozer la. Ra'u ha'tzarim sachaku al mishpateha. Chet chadai Yerushalayim. Al kein linida hayta. Komachabda hiziluha ki ra'u arvata gam hi nancha b'tashav l'achor. B'tashav achor. Tumatah b'shuleha lo zachra achorita. B'tered pala'im. Ein menachem la. Re'ei Hashem et onyi. Ki higdil oyev. Yado parash tzar. Paras tzar al kol machmadeha. Ki ra'ata goyim ba'u mikdasha asher tzivita. Lo yavo b'kahal zeh. B'kahalach. Kol aman en achim mevakshim lachem, natnu machmadehem ba'ochel la'ashiv nafesh, re'ei Hashem v'habita, ki hayiti zolela. Lo aleichem kol ovrei darach, habitu ure'u, eim yesh machov kemachovi, asher olali, asher hoga Hashem b'yom karnapo. Mimarom shalach esh batmotai v'yirdena, paras reshet l'raglai, heshivani achor, netanani shmeima kol hayom dava. Niskad al poshai biado yistagualo alu al tsabarai al tsabari hikshokochi netanani hashem bidelo uchakum sila kol abirai hashem bikirbi kara alai moed lishboi bachurai gad darach hashem libtula betiuda al ela ni bochia eni eni yorda mayim kirachak mimeni menachim meshiv nafshi hayu banai shomemim kigabar oyev. Persat Zion biyadeha, ein menachem la. Tziba Hashem liyakov sbivav tzarav, hayta liyushalayim lenidah b'neihem. Tzadiku Hashem, kifihu mariti. Shim'una kol amim ur'u machovi b'tulotai u'b'chorai ha'chu b'shevi. Karati lema'ahavai, heima rimuni. Kohenai uzkenai be'ir gavau. Ki bikshu ochel amo v'yashivu et nafsham. Ve'ei Hashem kitzai li. Me'ai chamar moru. נהפך לי בקרבי כי מרו מריתי מחוץ שקלה חרב בבית כמוות. שמעו כי נאנחה אני, אין מנחם לי. כל אויבי שמעו רעתי ססו כי אתה עצית. הבאת יום קראת ויהיו כמוני. תבוא כל רעתם לבנך ועולה עולמו כאשר עולת לי על כל פשעי כי רבות אנחותי ולבי דבר.
What do you see?
Look at the image of a woman.
Uh-huh.
Almanah.
Good.
A mother.
Good.
Nida.
And also a very feminine view of Yerushalayim. A lot of personification. Which really brings it home.
It's written first person and third person.
What's that?
It changes the
text. It does change. Exactly. Exactly. The first 11 psukim, psukim aleph through yud aleph, except for pasuk tet, a little quote in pasuk tet, psukim aleph through yud aleph is the mekonen, is the lamenter, is Yirmiyahu speaking about Yerushalayim. Starting after that, Yerushalayim herself is speaking.
With some
side points by the narrator, right? But the primary speaker is Yerushalayim. The personification makes it very powerful.
Maybe it's also the Shekhinah.
Well, it's really, it could be the Shekhinah also talking, except that the Shekhinah's house was in Yerushalayim. The Shekhinah's focus at being in Yerushalayim. What else do you see? What phrases? What other themes? Okay, let's go through the psukim. Echa yashva badad ha'ir rabatiham. How is it possible? The word eich, echa, is the question eich, but it's an elongated eich. It's a, not how, it's not an informational question. It's a statement of lament. Echa. Echa esalavadi, says Moshe. He has a question. Echa esalavadi, how can I carry the nation on my own? He's not asking a practical question to get an answer. It's a kvetch. It's a krecht. It's a oi. That's what an echa is. Echa yashva badad. She's sitting alone now. Ha'ir rabati am. The city that was rabat am, that had tons of people. Haita ka'almana. She's now, and it's interesting, it doesn't say Haita almana. It's ke'almana, right? She is like an almana. Rashi explains Haita ke'almana. She's not an almana mamash, but she's like an isha whose husband went ke'isha shahalach ba'ala l'medinat hayam v'da'atol l'chuzor etzlach. Like her, like a woman whose husband has gone far away to the other side of the ocean, and he's coming back. But in the meantime, while he's there, she doesn't see an end in sight. She doesn't see him back yet, and she doesn't know when he's coming back. And it's so she's ka'almana. Rabati ba'goyim, she used to be the gvira, the important one, the strong one among the nations. Sarati ba'minitino, she used to be the ruler, the sarah, the sar of all of the nations, and now Haita Lamas, she's now become taxed. Bacho Tivka Balaila, she cries at night. Why does she cry at night? What's about the crying at night? What?
People don't see her.
Good, nobody sees her. She's embarrassed. She's like saving her dignity to cry at night.
You say the galut is Laila.
Uh huh, right. The galut is Laila. The dimata lechaya, her tears are on her cheeks. Ein la menachem mikol ohaveha. Could be also you're trying to find an excuse why nobody's coming to comfort her. Maybe because it's nighttime. You're crying at nighttime. Nobody's seeing you crying, so they can't come comfort you. But nobody's coming to comfort her. From whom? Mikol ohaveha. From all the people that she thought were her ohaveha. Who really are Yerushalayim's ohaveha? She really does she really have any true friends, Yerushalayim? Not really, right? There are no other cities, there are no other countries, nations that could truly be considered a friend of Yerushalayim. So, Ein la menachem from any of her perceived ohaveha, ko re'eha, anyone who she thought was her friend, banduba. They betrayed her. Hayu la lo'ayvim, they became her enemies. Remember, we spoke about that last week, about Mitzrayim and Babel, that here he had turned to them originally for assistance, and now it totally didn't work. Galta Yehuda. Yehuda has been exiled. Me'oni umirov avodah. From affliction and great work. Hiyashva bogayim. I'm giving you now the reading according to Rabbi Yosef Kara. He says, because of the affliction and the hard work that she had, hiyashva bogayim, when she was among the goyim, lo matza manoach. She didn't find any rest. She didn't find any consolation while she was among the nations because of the great affliction she was under. And therefore, since she was down, she was worn down from hard work, anyone who tried to chase her caught her, either during her time of Tzarot or even within her own boundaries of Eretz Yisrael.
Can you explain that part again? When you say when she's down, like, what's that referring to? What is that coming? What is
she's
she
in galut, and in galut.
But who's in? Because
galta Yehuda, pasuk gimel, galta Yehuda, Yehuda's in galut, and then me'oni umirov avodah, because of the affliction and the hard work that she's experiencing when she's in the galut. When she's among the nations, she's not finding any resting time. Like, she's not finding any comfort. It's still very hard for her.
So this is talking about after the destruction.
When she's in Galut, it's interesting. He's talking about the Galut, and it's an interesting thing to talk about. Is Galut a physical thing or a spiritual thing? You know, because especially since the end of the pasuk, he says korot fei sigua bena mitzarim, which could mean anyone who's chasing her is catching her between her borders, could be implying that there's a concept of galut in Eretz Yisrael too.
They're already so far gone by that point. Before.
Right, galut is hisaklut hashchina. I think that was my understanding. That galut is not a physical location; it's more of a spiritual experience.
We're in
Galut. I used to have this conversation with a particular shaliach that we had a few years ago, and you know, he's talking about, these are the troubles of Galut. He would, you know, every time something didn't go right, you know, in school in America, he'd say, this is because of the Galut. I said, you know, there's Galut in Israel too. It's not just an America thing. But it's valid. Darchei Tzion, the paths to Yerushalayim, Avelut. Even on the path, the paths are in mourning. Mibli ba'ei moed. Nobody's coming, like they normally come on the moedim, on the chagim. Nobody's coming on the paths, on the drachim. Kol sha'areha shomemim. All of her gates are completely desolate. They're empty. Kohaneha ne'nachim. Her kohanim are sighing, are krachting about the Churban HaBayit and the fact that they have no more avodah. Betuloteha nugot. Her young women, which on the Chagim used to go out dancing, are now filled with sorrow. He, speaking about Tzion, Marla, you see, we see a progression in this pasuk, starting about the paths of Tzion, then moving to the Sha'arim, to the Kohanim, to the Betulot, and then taking a step back again, looking at the great picture of Tzion. Tzion is Marla. It's bitter for her. Hayut Sareha Larosh Oiveha Shalom. Her enemies became heads, became in charge. Oiveha Shalom, and her enemies sat in shalva, in peace, in quiet. Ki Hashem Hoga Al Rov Pishaeha, because Hashem brought sorrow to Yehuda for all of her Averot. So the enemies are happy now. They're sitting and relaxing. They're happy now that Hashem has repaid Yerushalayim for her sins. Olalaha halchu shvi lifnei tsar. We have this very harsh image now of the young children going to exile, walking in front of the enemies to the exile. Ve'yitzei mibat Tzion kol hadara. All of her glory has left her, referring to her sarim. You know, it could be a hint to Galut Yehoyachin, that he exiled the leaders of generation. Hayu sarah ka'ayalim. Her leaders, her officers, had been like ayalim, like rams. Asher lo matu mir'ed. Now the rams are very light-footed, and they're going to flit around from here to here to here. You've seen them in the mountains, you know, like jumping around. And they're going to go from here to here to here. But lo matu mir'ed, when they're not finding any place to graze, they're going to be very hungry, and then even such light-footed animals, v'yalchu below koach, lifnei rodeif, they will go without any fight before the rodeif. The rodeif is one who is pursuing for the purpose of killing. And we have the rodeif also earlier in Kol Rodfa, the end of Pasuk Gimel, Kol Rodfa Hesiguha. And here we have them walking before the rodeif. Pasuk Zayin. Zachra Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is remembering. She remembered Yemei Anya Umirudeha. She remembers in the days of her Oni, of her affliction, in the days of Mirudeha, of her wanderings, she's remembering Kol Machamudeha, all of her Dvarim Mechmadim, all of the nice things that she had, Asher Hayumi Mekedem, that she used to have. The word Machamudeha, it's an unusual form of the word Machamudeha. It should really be Machmadeha, and we're going to see that word later on. It's going to appear in its regular form, Machmadeha. But it could be, it's been suggested that it's the form was changed, the nekudot were changed to rhyme. Zachra Yerushalayim Yemei Anya Umirudeha, Kol Machmudeha, Mirudeha Machmudeha. It's a rhyme like that. Asher Hayubi Mekedim, that was in the path. And Yerushalayim is also remembering Binfol Ama B'yad Tsar at the time when she was falling into the hands of the enemies, V'ein Ozirla, and there is nobody to help her. Ra'u HaTsarim, how she sees her enemies, Sachaku Al Mishpata, laughing about her destruction. Pasuk Chet is a milestone pasuk. This is what we call Tziduk Hadin. Until now, we were talking about the difficulty, we had the Kohanim were sighing. We had the concept of Yerushalayim being badad, being alone, not finding any menachem, not finding any manoach, just the general bemoaning the situation. And now Pasuk Chet, we have a Tziduk Hadin, of Chechat HaYerushalayim. This is all happening because of something we did, we know. Al Kain, therefore, Linida Haita. Nida could be explained other than the classic understanding of Nida, that the Nida woman who is separate from everybody else. You also have the word, the shorash related to lanud, like na venad, like just exiled. And also manod rosh is something, you know, everybody shakes their head over. So you could say that she's al-kein l'nida haita, she is the city that people are just shaking their head over. Kol macha b'deha, he's iluha. Everyone who used to honor her now are scorning her. Ki ra'u evarta. Why? Because now they've seen her in her erva. Gam hi ne'enacha. Before the Kohanim were ne'enachim, now she is ne'enacha. Batasha v'achor. And she moves even further backwards in herself. She now has complete isolation from her ohaveha before. Now we're having from her tzareha complete isolation and move back. Pasuk tet, tumata b'shuleha. Her tum'a is visible. It's on the hems of her clothing. Her tum'a, her nida, her erva. It's visible there. She was sitting before Hesia. Lo zachra achrita. She had made no notice of any consequence of what she was going to do. But Teret Pala'im, she fell to great depths. She plunged incredibly, Pala'im, incredibly. We could not imagine that she could fall so far down. Ein menachem la, she has no one to comfort her. And the Mekonein now, the lamenter, sends its tefillah to Hashem through Yerushalayim, Re'ei Hashem et Ani Hashem. Look at my affliction, look at my sorrow, ki higdil oyev, because the oyev has grown. You see, batirid plaim, she made incredible plunges, higdil oyev, as far down as she went, that's how high up the oyev went. You have that parallel in that pasuk. Yado haras tsar, the tsar, the enemy, spread out his hands. Al kol machmadeha. Here we have the normal form of the word, the machmadeha. On all of her pleasant things, and all of her otzavot, on the Beit HaMikdash, on her Sefer Torah. Ki ra'ata goyim ba'u mikdasha. She saw the goyim. The word ki here functions in two ways. It functions as like a sigh. It doesn't mean because. It functions as a sigh. Or it also connects with the previous pasuk, because in pasuk tet we had at the end Re'ei Hashem et Ani ki higdil oyev, ki the ki higdil oyev, and here we see again ki ra'ata goyim ba'u mikdasha. So she sees the goyim coming to the Beit HaMikdash, asher tzivita, these very goyim that had been commanded lo yavo b'kahalach, they can't come into your kahal. Talking about Ammon, Moab. You know, these are people that are not allowed to be part of Bnei Yisrael, and now they're coming into the Beit HaMikdash. Coming in, not for serving the Beit HaMikdash, but coming in to destroy the Beit HaMikdash.
Is that an actual quote that exists somewhere? Or?
It's lo yavo amoni v'moavi b'kal Hashem, but it's not, no. It's made much more personal here, b'kahal lach, you know, to you. Kol ama ne'enachim. Now, we have this nanach, this sighing, and I keep using the word sigh to explain a few words. Nanach is really, it's a deeper sigh from here. So we started with the Kohanim were sighing. Then Yerushalayim was sighing. Now her inhabitants, her am, kol ama, ne'enachim. Why? Mevakshim lechem. They need food. They're starving. Natnu machmadehem ba'ochel. So what do they do? How do they get their food? They traded their own treasures, their own riches, their own stuff. They traded it for food. La'ashiv nefesh. To get some mishivat nefesh. We talk about mishivat nefesh now as like, as a certain security feeling, like mishivat nefesh. But it's not a mishivat neshama, it's a mishivat nefesh here. That it's like it's temporary. You know, what did they get? What kind of salvation did they get from trading their stuff for food? They were not hungry anymore, and that saved maybe their physical bodies for the moment. But first of all, it was a temporary saving. And second of all, there was no spiritual salvation going on for them there. Re'ei Hashem. Now is where Yerushalayim begins to speak. She says, Re'ei Hashem behavita. Look, Hashem, during this time of Ra'av, look what happened. Ki hayiti zolela. I became a glutton. Because of this terrible famine and this hunger, I became a glutton. I became somebody who trades riches for food. It brings to mind like a crack addict who will start, once they run out of money, they'll trade any of their stuff. That's the image that he's trying to present here with a zolel, with a glutton. Somebody who has gone through all their food already, all their money already, so now they have to trade things for food. Lo aleichem kol ovrei darach. Now, before she spoke to Hashem and said that Re'ei Hashem v'habita, now she's saying kol ovrei darach habitu u'ru'u. Everyone who passes by, look at me, see, im yesh mach ov kemach ovi, is there a pain like my pain, asher olal li, that has been done terribly to me? Asher hoga Hashem biyom karon apo, that Hashem caused this great sorrow in the day of his anger. So you see, so far in the, we've been developing a few things here. We've been developing the theme of the sighing a little bit. We've been developing, I haven't spoken about it so much, but I will mention it before, this as we go on, this concept of nobody can understand what I'm feeling. This victim mentality of nobody can understand. And the truth is, nobody can understand. This is a destruction. I mean, we're talking about a destruction beyond belief. And here she says, nobody can understand what I'm feeling. And here she says, is there a pain like my pain? And then we also have this idea of Hashem did this to me. There's an anger towards Hashem, but an understanding at the same time. It's tempered by an understanding that it happened because of the chataim that happened. So it's all these very natural emotions. What?
Something like the feelings of the survivors after the Shoah.
Right. Very much with the anger.
Anger and how could you do this to me?
Right. And nobody can understand, right? Very similar to Holocaust survivor mode.
There's also a little bit of tzidduk hadin.
There is, so, yeah.
It's yom harom napo. I mean, she's accepting that this came from Hashem.
I think that specific pasuk actually is not tzidduk hadin. I think it's the anger aspect that they're getting angry at Hashem. I think that tzidduk hadin happens earlier. At the end of, in Pasuk Tet, talking about as far down as we fell, that's how then the enemies came up, like understanding that clear correlation between them. And the beginning of Pasuk Chet, with Chet Chata Yerushalayim, Al Kain Lenida Haita. But I think in this Pasuk, in Pasuk Yibet, I think it's really anger towards Hashem.
Hashem's anger.
Right, but they're upset. They feel it in a way. I think that this Pasuk is the unfairness. Not unfairness, but just the, I don't want to go through this.
Because I did something wrong doesn't mean you have to treat you like this.
Or it's not even that conscious, I think. You know, I think it is. It's anger towards Hashem that he's doing this. You know, we said before also that she did her chataim before Hesia, but she didn't expect what the consequences were going to be. You know, so now that she has it, she's not happy with it. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Mimarom Shalach Eish. Here again, we have the acknowledgement that it's coming from Hashem. Mimarom Shalach Eish. From on high, he sent his fire. He's comparing Hashem's anger to fire. Ba'atzmotai, onto my bones. Vayirdenan, he punished me. Paras Reshet L'raglai. He spread a net around my feet. Hashivani Achor. And he threw me back. We had before Yerushalayim also was Batashav Achor at the end of Pasuchet. And now that was told from the point of view of the lamenter. And now we have Hashivani Achor. Now Yerushalayim is speaking from her own point of view, using the same exact language, Hashivani Achor. I was pushed back. Netanani Shomema. I was made completely alone. Kol Hayam Dava, sick, all day long. I'm just sitting here, sick, ill. Pasuk Yudalid, Niskad Ol Psha'ai, the yoke of my sins were ready to grab me. Niskad, this is the only time this word appears in Tanakh. And the understanding of the Targumim is that they just move the dot on the sin over to the right and explain it like a shaked, nishkad, that it's ready and waiting, which you spoke about a couple weeks ago about the makel shaked. So nishkad opsha'ai, that the weight on my neck of the sinners, that in other words, that this is all coming because of them, this is a little bit of a tzizuk hadin. It was waiting ready, biado yistargu, so that in his hands, I was like given over into his hands, I was woven into his hands. Alu al tzavari hichshil kochi, this weight, this strong net and yoke is weighing on my neck and is weighing me down and is weakening me. Netanani Hashem bidei lo uchal klum, and Hashem has given me over into their hands so that I can't get up anymore. Pasuk Tedvav silak kol abirai, he put down all of my giborim, all of my strong people. Silak kol abirai Hashem bekirbi. Again, the acknowledgement that Hashem is the one who's doing this. Whereas before, it's interesting, the lamenter, the mekonim, the one who's writing it, the narrator, was saying that the enemies are doing this. When Yerushalayim is speaking, she's saying Hashem is doing it. Silak kol abirai Hashem bekirbi. Hashem has lowered all of my strong men among me. Kara alai moed lishbor bachurai. He called, and now I think she's going back and forth between the enemies and Hashem. He called for me, he set a time, a specific time, to break the strength of my young, strong men. Gat darach Hashem libtulat bat Yehuda. Just like in the gat, in the where they smashed the grapes to get the wine out, darach Hashem, Hashem stamped down on Betulat Bat Yehuda. Again, a very strong image, very harsh punishment, a cruel destruction. But at the same time, the Yehuda is referred to as Betulat Bat Yehuda, with this sort of endearing, a double description of the Betulat and the Bat, of this endearing thing. Al Eila Ani Bochia, on these things, on the Bachurim and the Betulot that were destroyed, and on all of my glory that is left, on these things Ani Bochia. It's not Bocha, it's not I'm crying, Ani Bochia, I am constantly crying. Eini, Eini, Yarda Mayim, my eyes, water is just pouring down from them. My eyes are like a Ma'ayan. You see the play on the words, the Ma'ayan, Ayin. Kirachak mimeni menachem, there is no consoler for me. Meshiv nafshi, nobody could even give me meshivat nafesh that they were looking for in pasukin aleph. That meshivat nafesh to of the satisfaction of having the food, nobody can even give me that. Hayu banai shomemim, my sons were shomemim, they were sitting alone, kikadar oyev, because the enemy got strong. Pasuk Yizayin, Persat Sion biyadeha. Now, whereas before in Pasuk Yud and in Pasuk Yud Gimel, we had the paras, you can circle the words paras in Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Yud Gimel, that the enemy was spreading out nets and was spreading out his hand to grab the good things or to catch the Jewish people. Now in Pasuk Yizayin, Persat Sion biyadeha. Sion is spreading out her hands in tefillah. Ein menachem la, because there is nobody to comfort her. Tziva Hashem liYaakov, tziva tzarav. Yeah, Hashem commanded, Hashem told Yaakov that everybody around him was going to be enemies to him. That haitha Yerushalayim l'nizah b'nehem, that Yerushalayim would be alone among them. Tzadiku Hashem, Hashem is right. I know, here we have again a very strong tziduk hadin. Before, our tziduk hadin was from the Mekonein, from the lamenter. Now our tzidduk hadin is from Yerushalayim. Tzadiku Hashem ki pihu mariti, because really I rebelled against what he said. Shibuna kol ha'amim uru'u machovai. Everybody, all nations, listen and see my pain. Betulotai u'bachurai halchu b'shevi. Understand that my young women and my young men went into captivity. Karati lema'ahavai. I called out to my ohavim. Now we're going back, you want to get really chiastic. Now we're going back to the very beginning of our parak. That in the very beginning of our parak, in Pasuk Bet, we had Bachozit Kabbalah, Bedivatala, Chayah, Eila Menachem mikol ohaveha kol ra'eha bagduba hayula la'oivim. We spoke about that her ohaveim weren't coming to save her. That all of the all of her re'im, all of her friends had rebelled against her and became oivim. So now Pasuk Yutek Karati Lama'avai, Yerushalayim is saying, I called to my friends. I called to those who I thought were my friends. Hey Marimuni, and what did they do? They tricked me. Kohanai Uzkenai Be'ir Gavau. So instead, my Kohanim and my old people in the city, they're dying right and left. Kibikshu Ochel Lamal, because they're looking for food. Be'ashivu et nafsham, for this Mishivat Nafesh. They're looking for it, and they don't have it. We have, again, a repetition of this Mishivat Nafesh search. Hazuchav Re'ei Hashem Kitzarli. She's turning to Hashem and saying, Hashem, okay, like, look, it's hard for me. Before, who was she pointing out to that it was hard for her? She was pointing out to everybody else. She said, everybody else, look at how hard it is. Now she's turning to Hashem. She says, Re'ei Hashem Kitzarli. May I chamar maru. My insides are burning. Nefach libi bekirbi. My heart is totally flipped inside me. Kimaro mariti. It's so bitter. Why? Michutz shikla charev. On the outside, the sword is killing. The bayit kamavet. And on the inside, death is killing. In other words, there's death all around me. There's death outside, bachutz. There's death inside, bayit. Shamu ki ne'enacha ani. Now we have again, Yerushalayim is ne'enacha. Listen, that I'm sighing, I'm moaning. Ein menachemli, there's nobody. Everybody can hear. Shamu, they all heard. Kina nachani, but ein menachemli, nobody's coming. Kol ayvai shamu, all of my enemies heard. Ra'ati, sasu, they heard all my bad things that are happening, but sasu, they're excited, they're happy. Ki ata asita, because you Hashem, this is what you did. So now she says, Hevita yom karata v'yu kamoni. Bring a day like the day that you're calling on me. Bring it to them. V'yu kamoni, and let them be like me. Tavo kol ra'atam lefanecha. All of the evil that they did, evaluate it. Let it come before you. V'olil lamo, and cause them harm. Kasher olal tali al kol psha'ai, like you did me for my sins. Again, we have this little tzidduk hadin that I understand that because I sinned, I got punished. But what about them? Look what they're doing to me. They should get it too. Ki rabot an choti, because my moaning is great. Again, the rabbah. We started with rabbah, ha'ir rabati am. And now we went from rabati am to rabot an choti, to my moaning being rabbah. Vilibi davai. And my heart is sick, is ill. So we have, I mean, one of the things that I noticed, the phrase that goes through many times, I mentioned to the Mishivat Nafesh, I mentioned this moaning thing. But there's another phrase that keeps showing up. It's in Pasuk Bet, in Pasuk Tet, in Pasuk Tet Zayin, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. I found another one as we were reading that I forgot to mark off. But this concept of Ein Menachem, that there's nobody who can comfort me. She's feeling either that nobody's coming or nobody has the right words to say. But I think it's more that nobody's there, even. Nobody cares, she's saying. Ein menachemli. Nobody cares. Because we all know, for anyone who's been through a difficult time, if your friends come to you, it doesn't matter if they say anything or not. Sometimes it's better if friends don't say something, because sometimes friends could say the wrong thing. You know, and they're trying so hard to be sensitive to you in your high time, and they can be, you know, insensitive in their sensitivity. But just to be there is comforting for friends. And Yerushalayim just feels totally alone, completely badad. And she feels that there's nobody there for her. And it's important, I know maybe this is going to sound a little hokey or whatever, but I feel like at this time of year that she seems even like, she's talking about the difficulties that her am is going through, the betulot, the specific demographic she's referring to is the betulot, the bachurim, the kohanim a little bit, the zkenim a little bit. But she's really not, she doesn't talk so much about her people. She talks more about herself. And it's important for us, if I can say at this time of year, it's important for us to connect to that part of Yerushalayim. To understand, to feel that connection to Yerushalayim. That Yerushalayim has no feel. She has nobody is menachem la. we need to be Menachem Yerushalayim. You know, that it's not that we need to be consoled. We need to be Menachem Yerushalayim. We need to show Yerushalayim that we care. We need to show, it sounds like hokey, I'm trying to, you know, but it's like very, I feel like it's important to go through the actions. And since not everybody is able to feel the feeling at this time of year. But for those people who can feel the feeling at this time of year, it's not a feeling of feeling sorry for us. It's not a, you know, because part of it is like that we did it to ourselves. It's not that, oh, poor me, I don't have the Beit HaMikdash. It's, Yerushalayim is not what she could be. And if we take this approach of Yerushalayim is not what she could be, and if I can apply it even to modern times, you know, with the whole, the parking lot, brouhaha, and everything like that, then what should Yerushalayim be? Is a place where all Jewish people feel a connection to it. And we need to help to maintain the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, maybe by keeping a private parking lot open, which is what they decided in the end, to keep a private parking lot open. Because it's important for all Jews to feel a connection to Yerushalayim. And even though it's Mechalel Shabbat, there's also a Kavod Yerushalayim that followed there.
You can say the exact opposite also.
So I'm saying that part of the kabod of Yerushalayim is... Right, but I think that part of what I think that what's Mekadesh Yerushalayim is that her Am should connect to Yerushalayim. Of course I would prefer that they do it in a way that's not Mechalel Shabbat. That's a given, you know? But that's not the reality that we're in now. And if we don't foster that connection to Yerushalayim, then what's the point of having Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is not only for the religious Jews.
In some way, when you said earlier that Yerushalayim feels death within her,
right?
It's maybe she also feels like she's dying from within,
right?
Because she's being abandoned like that. And here, I think there's a good paradox that here we are, usually Tisha B'Av has suffered with the whole group.
Right.
In the Midbar, it was the same thing. People would line up by their Kfarim and see if they were going to be the ones who lasted through Tisha B'Av or not, but they were together. And so there's an opposite kind of thing here. From Yerushalayim feeling abandoned, right, then the Jewish people have to come together, and maybe that would be not only comforting, but would turn around the situation.
Right.
And I just want to say that I don't think that Israel really has friends anyway.
Right. And no, of course not. They're her perceived, right? They're her perceived Ohavim. Something that's interesting, I'll just throw it out for you to do because we're at the end of time. If you would look through, actually just take what? Just 1 second. Give me 1 more second. I'll really do it fast. Turn to Yirmiyahu Parak Chet. The Havkar for Tisha B'Av Day is Yirmiyahu Parak Chet Pasuk Yud Gimel through Parak Chet Pasuk Chaf Gimel. So from the middle of Chet to the middle of Tet. And just the Pasuk that really jumps out, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, in the last Pasuk of Parak Chet, Mi Tein Roshi Mayim, says Yirmiyahu, I wish that my head was filled with water, Ve'eini Mekor Dim'an, that my eyes were a water source, Ve'evkei Yomam Va'Laila, so I could cry day and night, Al Chalalei Bat Amei, on the death and the loss of my nation. And then we have also Pasuk Yudzayin of Perek Ted, V'teiradna Einenu Dim'a, in the middle of Pasuk, V'afafkenu Yizlu Mayim, about this, the crying, that Yirmiyahu has this need, this desire to cry. And he says, I wish I had enough tears to be able to cry. If you go through all of Sefer Eicha, this theme of the tears and the crying shows up many, many times. I mean, we had it here, B'chot Tivka B'Laila B'dimata L'Chayaha, that she was crying in the night. We have it further on. 1 second. In Parak Bet, it shows up also. Even in further in Parak Aleph, Al Eilani Bochia, these things I'm crying, and this, if you follow this theme of the crying of the tears, not just of the Mekonim, but also of Yerushalayim, it's a very, very strong imagery. Thank you, Esther, for coordinating this class.
Thank you.
Thank you.